We have, as you can see, a rather intimate group of about 12 or 13 of us. A couple of folks said that they would be joining us by telephone. We shall see if they are able to make it. But in the meantime, I feel pretty ethical and at ease about starting for the tonight. I want to just acknowledge that this final quarter, this final countdown, as they told me to put it in the little advertising blurb, is a very important time in human history. And if any of you, like me, are feeling a fair bit of anxiety, I just want to acknowledge it. First of all, I'll acknowledge my own in hoping that you all get exactly what you need tonight and that they utilize me in all my wordiness or distortions to provide you the clearest possible responses that you can get to your questions. The next thing I want to acknowledge is the world's anxiety and how any of us here might be experiencing it. You've heard me use the term before, Geiger or Geiger counter. And we all are Geiger counters to the collective, to our intimates, and so forth. How tuned in we are to it is one thing. How much we acknowledge it and how much we can, excuse me, clarify at any given moment. How much energy in our own space might be something we're picking up on from elsewhere, as opposed to radiating out ourselves. That's another matter. And in fact, over the course of the last few years, you've probably heard Michael and I say that one of the skill sets that must ultimately be an indicator of the not only the mature soul era, but the maturing of the human race and its ability to experience empathy is the development and then the conscious awareness of this faculty that is within not just humans, but in every mammal. We humans are the ones that have, in developing our intellectual centers, largely overrun a lot of our natural instinctive talents. Or at least talked ourselves out of them by virtue of our social conditioning and so forth. So I just want to acknowledge whatever anxiety that is mine, that is humanity's, and that is yours. And I invite you tonight to just take a deep breath, to acknowledge that the signal of anxiety, AKA also known as fear, is not illegitimate. It's perfectly legitimate. It's just let's keep it out in front of us. Because if we can keep it out in front of us, then we can wrap our heads and our hearts around it and keep it managed. And that's what ultimately the movement toward the mature soul energy actually is. So, having said that, of course, that is my first, if you will, large scale context for tonight. Everything that I've been receiving building up to this has been, both personally interesting and activating at times, curious at others, very surprising, which is what I'm going to start with in a few moments. And surprising even in a sort of a curiosity enlightening sort of way, not necessarily to frighten or shock in any way. As a matter of fact, I think you'll find this first piece, as I said to Barbara Taylor the other day, almost entertaining. Since I told Michael some days I don't even know where which way is up, and they said, "Well, we'll just appoint you the head of the entertainment division of the Michael teachings." And being a sage, I can take that on. So, in any case, so these contexts, as you all know. What a language, communication, information, transmission, everything in our experience has multiple layers of context. The Tao is our ultimate large context, and it's the one we're operating in. So I find it gratifying and uplifting that we start off with Karen mentions God and then someone the Tao, and then all of a sudden, we've introduced them into the mix, and they are the biggest container. And the wonderful thing about the Tao is, as someone pointed out, All experience to the Tao is welcome. And all experience to the Tao is also open to creation, as Catherine pointed out, choice, manifestation, and our co-creation by virtue of the way we are in it. And why this is important and significant now is because we are on the most, they said to me, this is the most crucial cusp that human beings have yet been on. Because so much is riding in the choices that not just Americans make, but that, the community of humans worldwide make. And the biggest context is, do we choose life and the living and the perpetuation of institutions that support those things, or do we choose the continuation of fear, defensiveness, and the willingness to attack? And those are the big kind of conceptual contexts that the human race is balancing with, is teetering against, and is a part of tonight's context. So when question times come, perhaps some of these contexts that I am laying in concurrent circles, so to speak, out for you all, will come back and influence the way that you ask questions. But of course, as always, you are free to ask questions in whatever subject and way appeals to you. Okay? So, having said all that, we want to welcome you, and we're going to show you our little interesting surprise and introduce it. So, just out of curiosity, can you folks all see this video that's playing in the background?
Yes.
Can you see what it is? Some of you will realize that that is actually the planet Earth. And some of you may know about this. We are calling this little asteroid, which for the next 65 days or so is going to be your second moon. And we're calling it the Visitor. And what we want you to know is the Visitor actually has a purpose in being here. And the purpose is this second moon is here to help make the transformation and stir up some of the remaining threads, help tying up and shaping some of the remaining threads of what you have, you as Michael students have come to know as the chaos node, of which has been a 10-year period, of which has been a pivotal change, or shift in the history, of the choices that will form the history of the human race. So this asteroid called 2024 PT5, that again, we've called the Visitor, for you astrologers, some astrologers out there are going to start getting more and more information once it actually takes up permanent orbit in 2 days. But we will tell you our interpretation of it. Many of you know that the original moon, Luna, as she were, you think of her as feminine energy. Well, what this moon, this Visitor, as we're calling him, is this is meant as a masculine energy booster to the feminine form. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the energy that is seeking to expand, and mind you, remember, as we've always clarified, the difference between thinking about male and female, which are biological sexes, as opposed to masculine energy and feminine energy. Feminine energy wants to pop. It wants to take its place and emerge as an equal partner to the masculine, which has basically dominated much of human consciousness for about 10,000 years through what you commonly call patriarchy. So this little fellow was brought in from the cosmic energies, if you will, to act as this orbiting messenger, to literally stir and continue to move the atmospheric energies in such a way that many of you will feel the natural tendency of feminine expression, which is more authenticity, and be able to utilize that in a way that has, if you will, kind of a masculine push to it. The tendency to believe or see flow as something that just kind of literally goes and meanders. Well, think of it, if you will, as a, you know, somewhat of a river with a much more of a rushing stream. So why this is significant is because this is going to increase, if you've not already felt it, something we're going to, you know, bring up in just a moment when we review the overleaves of this year. And that is the frequency of this time period probably feels just freakishly high. And part of what happens in that freakishly high time, you saw in these last 3 months, for instance, with two assassinations attempts and a complete change of presidential candidate in the United States. And then you saw several governments around the world change their orientations from otherwise centrist to left wing to right wing. So you've seen this shakeup prior to this energy coming in. But this energy, this asteroid, this additional second moon for this 2 month period is here to lend support to this energy push that is encouraging everyone to come out of the closet, stop self-editing, and yet be authentic in their expression and participate. So again, it's a masculine energy shove of support of feminine energy. It's an interesting kind of a character. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, this little fellow is only about 10 meters across and about 70 meters in length at maximum. So you can't see it with your naked eye. You could go to NASA and you could see, you know, computer generations like this. And you could also see occasionally a few of the still pictures if you're so interested in that kind of mechanical thing. But what we want you to realize is, again, this is a large stir stick amplifying and trying to help you folks get over the finish line. This is a support energy. Yet that support energy also has the, you know, the part of it, if you will, that it's disrupting a lot of people's peaceful and stable belief structures, which means many of you will have to decide things in the moment beyond just your politics. So it can feel very anxiety creating, as we started acknowledging the beginning of this chair. So that's our little bit of surprise slash interesting way of beginning tonight, if you will, for you. Is the visitor is bringing its influences, the visitor is bringing its impact to this last period of the 10-year chaos period, which will basically terminate at about the winter solstice in completion. So let's say a few things again about the overleaves and the energy of this year. Sorry, this little thing will disappear here in a second. There we go. So just to review, the roles that influenced this year, the primary role was the sage. And as you can see, even though you have kings dominating the political scene, literally you have three of them. You have Donald Trump on the right, a young king. You have Kamala Harris, a mature king, on the left. And then from out of left field, you have an early mature Robert Kennedy, who is also a king. Even though he has now faded out and it's gotten into this kind of polarized binary, nonetheless, they're the actors, but it is about whose message and whose truth is the most impactful. And ultimately, this is the message, this is the lesson that each of you, as well as your political scene, is trying to drum into you. Whatever you say, whatever you try and convey, your words and your messages matter. Your tone matters as much as your selection of words. So tonight, what we've done is the parts of the overleaves of the year that we're really highlighting, we also highlighted in yellow. We've already mentioned the frequency at 64, which is as measured on a scale of 100, is already pretty fast and pretty compelling. But when you mix that or combine that with the mode of aggression, not to mention the energy of growth and greed, then the feeling of urgency and the wanting to pop out of an old shell, if you will, is all, adding a pressure into thing that now is at its culmination point at this time. So here they are, sage year, growth, pragmatist, aggression mode. Again, we'll speak more of that tonight. Moving center in the intellectual part, and chief features of greed, with we see the rise of martyrdom that will flow over into the next year. Because let's face it, win or lose, no matter who is on that side where they feel like they lost, everyone's going to feel victimized for a while. And the biggest lesson that you will have to prepare for, we'll talk about, is how do you begin to deal with that in yourselves, but also with other people, with compassion, or with combat. And we mean that literally, not just metaphorically. The masculine feminine energy ratio is quite lopsided to the masculine side, and that's one of the reasons that the visitor was inserted into the picture by the Tao, to bring in the support for this aspect. The angelic realm is in the fight of its life right now. Some of you who are feeling the energies of your own personal guardian angels know that they're tired, because there's a lot of energies out there that you either might call dark or demonic, or in many cases, your own feelings of isolation, not letting that kind of vibrational support in. Because that's what the angelic realm really does, is they infuse higher vibrational energies into your space, but for no intellectual reason. You can't necessarily track it. And for many folks, you've been so stuck in this intellectual part, trying to figure out what's going to happen next, that it has blocked out the ability to just receive. So we want to invite you, just receive anything that you can do to allow your vibration to just feel a moment of joy, an interim of serenity, an intersection of humor, a momentary feeling of satisfaction by taking a bite of a piece of food and then maybe perhaps being utterly surprised at how good it is. Let it just sit on your tongue. Those kind of things are the moments that are vibrational interjections from the angelic realm. And when the more that you can step out of your mind in the context of trying to hold things in a decision pattern or prediction pattern, the more that you will experience those. So the last thing we wanted to mention here is the primary needs. And why you see those in there is because, let's face it, you can see these in action right now. The primary needs, people are looking to try and secure themselves in a community so they can feel heard. And that's these three in this grouping. Now, some of you, like those of you here, feel to a degree that you already have a sense of community and shared interests and so forth, but many of you still are concerned, again, that the parts of you that will you be received, will you be appreciated, will you be rejected, will you be persecuted? That's the some of that martyrdom energy. All those things are going through everyone. You as older souls we are giving you and alerting you that to the degree to which that you can bring these through your own system, heal them, be aware that when, the more that you personally transcend them for yourselves, and the more that you can use the sage's greatest gift to humanity, humor, humor in seeing your own process, sometimes for the grand irony or silliness, or sometimes even feel like it's a joke, the more that you can see that and have that feeling of levity, lightness, not only the more that you will find your vibration raised, but then the more that you will find that in the presence of darker energy, you will be a balm, a salve, a source of disarming that heaviness and that darkness in the presence of that kind of thing. So the degree to which you can bring that on or transform that yourself, the more you will be doing or giving a contribution and literally finding ways to meet these primary needs within yourself consciously. Where do I feel secure? What does that really genuinely look like for you? It's okay to say, do I have enough money? Or did I get enough meals today? Or am I wrapped enough in a heavy blanket? Whatever means or mechanisms that lend to that for you, intellectually or physically, allow yourselves to have as many of them as you can. Because here's the big thing that, you know, is, and this is perhaps might sound to many of you like perhaps the heaviest responsibility or even most difficult thing to understand about what we see with the world as it is right now. And we're trying to move the, forgive us, we're just trying to move the bar so we're not, there we go, blocking the slide. But folks, whatever the outcome at the end of this three-month period, which remember is the culmination of a 10-year evolutionary transition from the young soul era and mental paradigm, consciousness paradigm, into the mature soul consciousness paradigm, whatever level of vibrational or circumstantial or, for that matter, institutional or governmental pivot that is in place at the end of this year, that is going to be the dominant theme for the next 25 years, the next quarter century, or if you will, the entirety of the next generation. So the degree to which, and many of you are already experiencing this sense of urgency, and we would concur, it is urgent that the gifts to your children and the gifts to the grandchildren that are young and new and those that aren't even coming, as well as the earth itself, is what particular aspect or side of, and now we refer to, those of you who remember, the Vitality Tone Scale, which you can find on the website if you wish to see it and download it. If you're above that central point of what you call neutrality, but what we are trying to convert into what might be called impartiality, because impartiality allows you to be with lighter vibrations, but also when those heavier vibrations are there, you are not sitting in judgment and resistance against them. And in that regard, you can keep this mental and potentially emotional freedom to be able to operate even at times of heaviness. But the degree to which you can give yourself a leap forward as a race, and we'll discuss literally how that looks in just a moment, will help or hinder the next 25 years. So one of the things that you see in the bottom of this slide that we just want to elaborate upon directly, because we want to change again the concept. As many of you know, people everywhere use the concept of freedom, but it has so many variable intonations, and it also can be used in greatly manipulative ways. for people to often self-justify their privileges or their self-indulgences or their sense or willingness to reject things that, you know, may be obviously true, but they just don't want to see. That's fine. But we don't want to keep it in that level of variability as a definition. As the sage here demands, we want to give you something more tangible in the, if you will, a moving center concept of it. And so we're defining it here as, and have we, and we have over the last 20 years returned to this on several times, what we call physical liberty. And we want you to understand what physical liberty is, ladies and gentlemen, because it's really important. Some of you who have experienced challenges with your own physical mobility know that your physical liberty is actually challenged because you are constrained, in the case of your own body, in that example, from being able to move in a freedom that you would otherwise wish, emotionally or psychologically. But when you come down to more serious, perhaps serious isn't the right word, and we don't mean to cast aspersions on that, but more tangible, let's say tangible things besides your body. Historically, you're talking about things like poverty and slavery and national racial discrimination and the vast differences in personal power, i.e., the power over resources to acquire what someone needs and do so in a way that is relatively straightforward, that relatively able to have the thought or the whim, as it were, and actually act on it. The world is gaining further and further and further distance between what's traditionally called the haves and the have-nots. So measuring things by a person's physical liberty and what options they have and what groups of people they have, and seeing that the gulf between those who have virtually unlimited physical liberty and can indulge in a great many ways, including imposing and impinging upon the physical liberty of others, is a is the great karmic hurdle of your time to overcome. And that takes, that will take exertion and emphasis of interacting with your world and with other people, not just clearing your own energy fields, as we said. Now, one of the themes then that we want to characterize this year about, or several of the themes, and how we're distilling it at this time, is that as far as your own spiritual inner lessons as a collective of humanity in this King Cast Sage Role year, is how do you as a person, in your own personal expression, speak to power? How do you speak to power? Or are you silent? Do you not make your voice known? In which case, you are in a state of withdrawal or capitulation, or even self-repression. And it's the second one then that brings that notion to bear. How much then do you find yourself, and for sages, this is particularly poignant, is how much do you self-edit, not from the sense of really wanting the most clear communication, but perhaps the word we should have used there was, how much do you self-censor? Do you abstain from communicating or not say anything when internally you are being compelled to make a comment, make a statement, make a stand of some sort? And these are questions for you to evaluate. These are not moral condemnations about whether you are good or bad or right or wrong, but rather to find these places in yourself to see if you can emphasize, give empowering yourself to speak to power out there, to enhance not only your physical liberty, but to be an agent, a change agent, to help the and expand the physical liberty of many. Because that is the expansionary vibration that will help bring around the positive poles of the mature soul paradigm, is sharing and involvement and mutuality. Not what you see at the, this crux epitome high point of the end of the young soul era, which is selfishness and solipsism, which is that notion of only coming from one's perspective. Now, with those changes, then comes this third theme, because this will be very important for you in your transformation, your personal transformations in the midst of all these worldly transformations. And that is, how prepared are you to deal with discomfort? Now, admittedly, we are talking about some potential physical discomforts. We don't mean like the pain of, being beaten up or something like that, but we do mean the contraction of your resources or the expansion of your asserting your power into that discomfort zone, that when you are being truly authentic and expanding beyond your own previous limitations, you are invariably going to feel pain, discomfort, fear, uncertainty, because it's all brand new. It's the frontier. And when you think of the transition from the young to mature, it is a new frontier that you folks are helping to co-create. And how you are able to manifest the vibration and spread that around, and then help push this threshold out of this end of this chaos period, this last 3 months, will be very important to notice. Now, we highlighted aggression mode because, folks, it is probably the single most prominent and self-evident of all the overleaves that are being seen right now. And you notice what we say there. The poles, in a real sense, are in competition. And which will survive, or which will kind of take its place as more the dominant one after this chaos period has ended. Now, let's review what these look like. Now, many of you who know the overleaves chart like the back of your hand, understand the primary words that we use as dynamism, and then in the positive pole, and then belligerence in the negative pole. Well, we've added a few more descriptors to try and expand the way you would actually see it in operation out there. People striving, asserting themselves, and in this case, as much verbally as literally in a moving centered year, and putting yourself in action, putting yourself out into the world, doing things, saying things, being in places, even applying your money is a legitimate form of placing an energy into the mix. But making a leap forward into that frontier, even if it seems uncomfortable. And then, of course, we use the analogy of running here, and we would say that, dynamism. Excuse me, aggression in the positive pole of dynamism is probably most analogous to when you see somebody really sprinting. Now, we've offered the contrast historically between aggression and its paired action ordinal mode, perseverance. And we've said that perseverance, on the other hand, would be comparable to, say, the long distance run. So it's, more of a steady pace and keeping going with endurance. So you're in a sprint right now. You can really sense that. It's happening in both parties. It's happening on both sides of this vibrational equations. The differences, and the thing that we know most of you want to hear us predict, is that the light side, the expansionary side, the vibrational openness side, toward the mature soul era, which in your country looks like the election of a Democrat to your presidency, right now is about 70% in favor of that happening. So the energy is already a poised for that. But what will keep it going is the fact that you all have to keep up that sprint until the very end, because the perseverance that goes along with belligerence, the just hostility, the destruction, the combativeness, the undermining, the enmity that is innate in the negative pole of aggression, is squarely on the other side. And they are doing everything they can to serve up word salad, as it were, to use that terminology that Mr. Trump himself came up with, to contradict and or contradictionary, as you see, we misspelled contradictory down there. In any case, those two energies are competing. And so there is no letting down on this until the days that immediately follow the election. And of course, many of you will ask more specifics in your questions, and we'll get to those when we get to those. But remember, one thing we want to say to help put this in context again for the long-term big picture here is, we have noticed a tendency, particularly about amongst the vast majority of idealists and spiritualists amongst you, to forget that the transformation of the human race has been a long arc of history. It is not just, even though this election and some of the events that will happen thereof is pivotal for balancing the scales in that direction. Those scales and what's been on them, like the building of your institutions or the undermining of your institutions, the expansion of rights or the contraction of rights, the preservation of your environment or the destruction of your environment, all of these have happened over a long period of history. It really started probably the mature soul era started to creep its way into human consciousness, really about the Renaissance, and then took another leap forward about that period of history that you know as the Enlightenment, and then really took bigger leaps again, albeit some bloody ones, when you had both the American and the French revolutions. And then through the expansion of particularly the development of the battles between rights of groups versus rights of individuals or oppressions of groups, through the 19th century and in through the 20th century. All of this has been an expansion, contraction, building, and tearing down. And this one is pivotal for being able to put a linchpin where it's going to move more forward, and the stopping the decay, the decline, and the rot that has been introduced, particularly in the last 45 years. Since really the Nixon era, that rot is coming to a head, whether it can be quashed and literally put an end to and begin the cleaning out process, or will undermine more and then really cause a bigger collapse, and then having to build your way out of that. So we want you to understand, we're trying to help you with realism, and that you can have realism with your hopefulness, and that don't allow your sense of validating hope to be dashed at any one given moment because some kind of positivity that is almost toxic in its absolutism is trying to tell you, oh no, everything's collapsing, boo hoo, and then lose your momentum. So these are some of the things that we want to just acknowledge, that these trends that will pivot between these two vibrational arms. In the American theater, it is literally the American elections. And if the majority of the Republican agenda, which is the heavier, older, young soul rot, you will see Project 2025 activated. And that will be a lot of the oppressive collapse if that happens. But we want to reiterate what we've just seen is the trajectory that's happening now is that it is 70% against the likelihood of a Trump Vance victory and Project 2025 being implemented. But 70-30, that's still a hefty amount of it's favorable, but that's not a certainty of 100%. The next thing that is affecting the world and will continue to affect the world for for the rest of this decade, but how it will play out is the key, is the Israeli-Hamas conflict, and particularly how Israel will be either successful or quashed in its right now, a mania-driven, a warrior-driven, Netanyahu-driven destabilization of the Middle East, where Netanyahu, who has energies and hearkening back to the prophet Abraham, back of the Abrahamic religions, yes, way back there, and thinks that Israel should be an empire in the Middle East. And if his and if this energy is allowed to perpetuate, his aspirations are going to continue to cause that a problem and actually make that whole negative pole aggression energy much more prominent and keep the world more destabilized. Another part of the world that is really key in this to look at is the effects of how the Russian-Ukraine war is actually modified and dealt with by the West. Because Mr. Zelensky, who's a mature scholar sage, has actually poised and can stabilize Ukraine, but he has to go defeat Russia, push them back. They can't do just a ceasefire settlement. It won't work because it'll just allow that rot we talked about of Mr. Putin's dominance in his sphere of empire to continue to kind of, amorphously just spread out. And yet, if Europe and supports Ukraine in pushing back, it will help the decline and the diminishment and what looks like the eventual and very possible removal of Mr. Putin in Russia, in spite of the fact that it is actually Vladimir Putin, ladies and gentlemen, who is the world's richest man. He is the world's richest man in terms of all his assets put together, but also all his power, in spite of Elon Musk being on paper a dollar almost, a trillionaire. The next thing that we want to just mention, and we have alluded to it several times, that the way to deflate and even defeat through consolidation, both of positive power, but also through the reaching across and helping to deflate the hate of immigrants and the fear mongering of nationalism that is rising up in, places like Austria, France, and of course of Hungary, but also then in places in South America. If they can be undercut or curtailed, and the, how should we say it, the those portions of the baby and young and also even mature soul populations that fear them on, not exactly grudgingly, but we would say hesitantly, because their old models of the world at least say, well, they give me that security of those primary needs we're talking about. If they can be shown to be fraudulent and that they are straw dogs and that they are full of rot and they won't work. And the new and emergent higher vibrational energies that we're talking about begin to emerge, then healing and movement can happen. But if they're allowed to continue to grow, they will, of course, create destabilization across much of the Europe and of Western Asia. The last thing, or the last couple of things that we wanted to mention, because these two are together, most or many of the authoritarian or authoritarian leaning regimes, and you'll notice if you read this slide, we've included the U.S. in that now, because the U.S. is still acting like an empire, even though it's more open under the Biden administration than it has been under others for the last, as we said, 40 to 50 years, really post-World War II, the United States has taken its place as an empire. And why that's significant is, first of all, empires are very much kind of baby soul concepts that when they then get to supercharged through young soul economics, you know, they grow into these oligopolies and oligarchies, meaning the rule of a few. And you're seeing those at the height of their power right now. If though, and most of those in the world are based, and their power is based, and their finances are based all on fossil fuels. And to, and you notice we mentioned Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela as key players, along with the United States, because you know that they're pumping more oil and natural gas in the United States than they ever have. And while those players and fossil fuels are still the undercurrency that is pushing the global economy, and these players are the major asset holders, we should also, by the way, put Russia in there. We forgot to add them into the mix. As long as that is still the centralized currency, then you're going to see this tendency toward authoritarianism. And then lastly, if that's the case, then the next 25 years for the Earth itself, and we're not talking about just climate change, but we're talking about resource, the acceleration of resource extraction, environmental destruction, the exploitation of populations to get it, and the destruction of many species, all to collectively collapse that power, will be greater. Now, as we said, the good news is that all these mature soul endeavors, small, granulated, but in some cases, even, you know, being led by governments, albeit, you know, secondary to their major common activities, historic activities like the fossil fuel-based economies. Nonetheless, there are many human activities that are moving to and moving into this expansionary, higher vibrational, preserve the earth, preserve life, include people, and begin to, again, spread power and resources more evenly on the planet than it is now. All of those are at stake in the pivoting of this in the next 3 months. It's not one action per se, but it is all of these actions and how they're negotiated. And what we want to say is that when you mention the Tao, we want you to know that the Tao itself ultimately likes evolution that expands, because it means more experience. And yet the Tao, as if you will, the infinite impartial witness, as well as kind of mover of currents. And by currents, we mean like wind currents or water currents. It changes with the collective energy that you all put in it. So we use this graphic here. You see these rail lines and how they can cross over to, you know, or go on straight and literally change tracks. This is all possible by virtue of the majority of energies combined with meaningful action by, in your case, human beings on this planet, since you are the dominant species. And so we want you to understand that while opportunities and priorities and situations are moving in a direction that many of you would find beneficial, that there are still a lot of external energy to be put out, to be asserted. And much of it has to do with how do you stake your claim? How do you speak to power? And what do you do in that regard? So we want to say that at least the portion of our presentation, as far as putting context and stating some of the details of what we've what we will see, if you folks want to dive into the specifics, we will be glad to take questions at this point. And for those of you who would like to literally ask a question, you can choose the raised hand gesture on, you know, down below in your reaction, and I'll see it and I'll go to you in the order that I see them.